welcome to 30-ish. Well, our Stephen couldn't be with us today, but we have a very lovely guest host, another Stephen, actually, Stephen Seidel. Thank you for coming. Thanks for joining us, Stephen.
I appreciate you guys bringing me on the show. Even Stephen, we like to keep it even keel.
Exactly.
Stephen. You ready to get real?
See, that's how you like do replacements. You can only replace if you have the same name of the person you're replacing.
Oh, so you can't replace me.
Me too.
I will find a Rasha. I will find a Naina.
No, you won't. She'll be 2 years old.
You can't replace her. She's out here doing periscopes and doing all this stuff.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Yes,
Stephen.
Thank you, Stephen.
It's lovely to have you here today.
We appreciate it.
Happy to be back.
And joining us later is a woman who has a very unique business idea. We'll be talking to her on our 30-ish segment titled Entrepreneurs. But first, you guys, the ish. What is going on in our world?
A lot.
Okay, well, there is a lot going on, and I don't know why this popped up, but I have always been a person growing up that my parents never taught me to see race. They always taught me to see a person for who they are, and you know, if they're a good person, stick with them. If not, then don't. But I'm seeing so much happening in this world that involves race and racism, and I'm still surprised that it still exists. So my question to you guys is, why does race matter? Like, does it matter? Where did you grow up?
Yes.
I mainly grew up in the South.
Okay.
But my dad was in the military, so we traveled around a lot. So
I mean,
I have
a
very different perspective than
I mean, growing up, I'm half and half. I'm mixed. I'm a mixed girl. My mom was black and my dad was Italian. Mm-hmm. So for me, growing up, my mom always taught me and told me to make sure that I claimed and acknowledged and was proud of both sides of who I was as a whole. But I feel like because the world, there is so much inequality that still exists, there's a reason why there's an acknowledgement, a high acknowledgement for different cultures, races, and, you know, different things. Like, women still don't make as much as men, period. So it's not just race. It's an imbalance in certain things. And I think it's okay and it's important to acknowledge the differences in who we are, but still embrace and love them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like sometimes, yes, the race thing can turn into, like, a sort of our history will not go away kind of thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, just because I'm white doesn't mean I'm racist. Like, same with you, Tony. I grew up in a house where I never knew any racial slurs until I went to, in middle school, I think I learned some. I'm like, what does that even mean? And I had to ask my parents, and they were like, it's never in your vocabulary. Like, that you always, same thing, judge people just based off of your interactions with them.
Yeah.
So it's always something that I've never, like, I always thought it was great to be Italian. So, like, I never saw myself as being a white girl. Like, I was always Italian, and, like, my friends would be German, or, like, would be a black, or whatever you were. But it's just, I feel like every time we go forward, we get a step back, and that's, like, what is going on with the election type of thing. You know what I mean?
Well, I think maybe there's a lot more stemming from that. And, of course, with all the events that have been happening around town, I have to bring up something funny, which, same thing with my family, that we never really talked about that. It wasn't an issue. But I, to this day, will never forget. I was in high school. I was on a bus, and I had a white guy. I don't know what his problem was. He actually said to me, "Go back to your country." Mm. And I said to him, "Wait, but this is my country.
From here.
I was born and brought up here."
Right.
And to hear that was one of the first few times I'd ever even, you know, heard something like that or had dealt with something. And my parents really didn't know how to kind of interact with that or teach me
how
to respond.
He?
We were 14.
Wow.
And he was
that
14
came from
too?
His parents.
Yes.
I mean, you're not born.
You know,
you're not
it was,
born racist.
No,
he got that
nice
from
school.
His
and,
family.
You know, and to that too, I think Steve and I were talking earlier, but I mean, it's funny to think that even in this day and age, Ku Klux Klan,
Hillary Clinton just did the campaign for Donald Trump with that. But I think as a white male, having been in a system where they're constantly at the top, even with whites and blacks and women and males, it's our duty to step up. Granted, all lives matter, but black lives do matter, blue lives matter. But in a moment where we need to step up and identify that there are problems in this world and stand out, and it is up to a lot of us white males to get out there. And when people talk about racism or people that are not equal, we are all equal. And I stand by Black Lives Matter. I don't know if you said that, but they do matter.
And you know, I love that you're saying that, because there was someone who in a class that I was in was like, "Well, all lives matter." I'm like, okay. Like, being a white person, I didn't fully understand that as well until a friend of mine who is black explained it to me. And being a white woman, I've never really dealt with the repression or any kind of real racism in my life. So who am I to tell somebody else what racism is, right, or how to feel? Like, I'm almost, like, sick, like, even the thought of someone being like that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Right. And growing up as a mixed race child in this country, it was difficult for me. It was a lot of challenges because I wasn't black enough to be with all the black girls, and I wasn't white enough to be with the white girls. So I was treated a very kind of standoffish way. So my two best friends were a Latin young lady and an Indian. Like, those were my friends, because we weren't embraced into any groups. We didn't fit into a box. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, taking the standardized test. And you know how they'll have, like, three categories: you're black, white, or Asian Pacific Islander. Yeah. Like, I'm there, like, was only three choices. I'm still an other. I made a box. And to this day, if that box is not there, I will make other. You're not going to make me pick between sides, right, because my mom taught me to definitely embrace both sides of who I am. I'm proud of that. I hold my head high. And if I have, and when I have kids, I'm going to raise them to feel the same way, because growing up as a mixed kid, it was very difficult. Like, now it's, like, trendy to have mixed kids. But honestly, it really is trendy, unfortunately. But honestly,
and it's all going to be mixed.
It's difficult. Difficult for a mixed kid to grow up because they don't directly identify with one category, and society tells you that you have to pick.
Yeah.
When you don't.
I think that we should keep the mentality that we had as very young kids. I've seen so many videos where, you know, you put kids in a classroom and they're all playing with one another.
Yeah. Sure.
They're having fun. And there just seems to be a transition where you start noticing, you know, the differences. And I just feel like that is sometimes learned in a household.
Absolutely.
And then it carries with you. I have been fortunate enough to where I actually haven't experienced any sort of racism, but sometimes lately I've been feeling like, do people just look at me as a black male? And I've worked very hard to see beyond labels, you know, beyond being a black male, beyond being a gay male. Like, I'm Tony. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different sides to Tony that you should get to know that side before you judge me based on my outside. When I was in middle school, because, you know, I'm always doing stuff with my hair.
Looks good, by the way.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well done.
You
don't need to blow any more smoke.
I wanted to get braids because I saw this guy on TV. He had braids, and I was like, oh, I totally want to do that. It wasn't until I got older that my father told me that he considered whether or not I should have it just because of what it might represent. Mm. He didn't want anyone looking at me as if I were a thug or a hoodlum or something like that. He wanted everyone to still see me for a young, educated African-American male. I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I put my hair in braids. Mm-hmm. But he allowed me to do it because I did represent those things. I was doing well in school. I was definitely someone who marched to the beat of their own drum, and it was full of glitter.
And you did.
And so my dad was like, you know what? He's a strong enough person, an educated person, a smart person to, like, be able to have that.
Well, and I feel like you should embrace your culture as well. And that kind of goes into something kind of funny where we were all texting getting ready for a show, and I spray tan myself a lot. I tend to be very pale.
Me too.
And I know that was just so funny. But I send this text to everybody. I'm like, about something, I'm like, anyways, just spray tan myself, # white girl problems. And I thought it was funny. Like, I just didn't really think much about it.
Yeah.
And I also have, like, I'm also very short. And so I also have short, yeah. But
yeah, you guys have a lot in common.
I want to hear what you're, because we're embracing our differences.
Yes.
Because we are different. We are all different, and we should be. But what are some of your # like, whatever problems?
Short girl. Light skin, need to spray tan. I'm right with you on those.
I try and stay away from the # but I have a lot of friends who are actors, and they often do the # actor life, and they make it seem like their life is so difficult, but...
It is. It's a stressful life. I would never want to be an actor. Y'all are putting yourself through a lot of stress.
It is a struggle learning how to do that Periscope account and figuring out how to get
on all social media.
Yeah. I feel like life is just a struggle.
Yeah.
But
it is, but it's beautiful. It's a beautiful life. We all live a beautiful life, and especially us in LA. Like, we live in an amazing city. I'm from Chicago, which is another amazing city. But it's like, we live a beautiful life, so I think hashtags are really funny. Like, I posted a picture of, like, a Throwback Thursday picture, and I said on the throwback, like, we were the flyest. Like, because my friend and I were the flyest. But it's, like, funny. Funny
hashtag. Nonstop entertainment.
My Instagram is, like, so live. Yeah, so live 95, honey.
This is great.
Yes.
But for me, one of my problems that I always deal with, you know, is when someone wants to take a photo. And I always remind them, I'm like, listen, I'm of a dark skin complexion. Like, we have to make sure lighting is just right. Because not everybody wants to use that little thing called flash. And if you don't use flash, sometimes I just blend in.
Unless you're standing next to two light, bright girls. Yeah. It will be natural flash.
No, it is a problem. Sometimes. I have seen photos of me where it would be you, space, and then you. And if I am not smiling, if I am not, like, doing something...
You're doing your, like, blue steel?
Yes.
Can you post one of them on your Twitter or something?
This happened the other day.
Okay, share
like,
that.
I was like, listen, you got to change the filter on that so you can see me.
I'm going to tell you, every filter doesn't work for everybody. So no, I try to be very... When I post pictures of, like, if there's, like, three of us or four of us or a group of us, of course I'm going to pick the one that I look best in because, honey, it's my Instagram. But I try to be mindful of everybody else, so I pick a universally flattering filter for everyone.
Well, I appreciate that.
Because there are certain ones that are only good for, like, lighter tones.
Y'all need to
tones.
Use your flash when someone of a dark skin complexion is there. Or turn around so that the light is hitting me the right way.
Is there an app for that?
Needs to be. Okay. Or I need to get one of those Lumis or those light things.
Or the app with the app. Tony, you can make an app called Get Your Light. Get Your Light. Get Your Life. Get Your Light.
What other problems do you have?
Oh, God. Okay, so my problem is a personal one. I'm sure a lot of females can relate to this.
Okay.
I have hashtag boob issues. Because
I do not have that.
I didn't even know that it existed. Yes, it exists. Because they're too big or too small.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, I get
they're
back
They're never
issues.
Too big.
That's not a problem.
Don't tell
over
her.
Here.
I know that's not a problem for men. But, like, you know, there's certain things.
I got a strong A cup.
There's certain things I want to wear that I can't wear.
You know,
my
larger chest friends do say that.
I end up looking like a hoe bag if I wear certain tops.
No. But you know what? Just have kids. After you have kids, they die.
No, I mean, I don't think, first of all, I think whatever you got, you should wear proudly, big or small or whatever.
I'm proud.
But I know there are some dresses, like there are some dresses that some women that are not as largely endowed can wear without bras. Yeah. And then there's some women who have to wear a bra all the time.
Yes, that's what
so
I'm talking about.
So I get
about.
It, but I think it's just sexy. Let the girls live, honey.
Now, what about you, Naina? You listed them earlier, but what's your thing that you go through?
I mean,
I think it's kind of funny.
I have no problems, honey. I do run into, and this is just often enough, where people mistake me. They don't know because I am multiracial, that they don't know what I am. So I get people from all different ethnicities walking up to me speaking a million different languages.
I would have thought Dominican.
That's cute.
Well, Dominican is one. Okay. Some people think I'm Latin. So I accept and I take all of them as a compliment. But it's funny because I wish I knew like 10 languages.
Yeah.
Because I could language problems. But you know, there's an app for that.
There's an app.
It's called Translation. And I basically will talk to people. I've had conversations in different languages, but it takes a little bit longer.
Stephen, what about you?
I'd rather talk about translation of love. And there's a lot of love going on. We're talking about kids and families. I'm a dad. My daughter just turned 2.
Oh, congratulations. Oh,
happy birthday to her.
I appreciate it. Savannah, I know when you watch it, she'll be proud of Tony. But I want to talk about relationships, and there's been talk about a divorce with Brad and Angelina, and I think that you talked about kids. That presents a problem when parents get divorced. Do you think it's a easy way out to get divorced, or should they stay together because they have kids?
Oh, no. See,
no,
my,
you should not do that.
No,
oh, you
my parents got divorced when I was 21, and I was actually like, good for y'all, because you should be happy. And I feel
but
like
they it, waited till you were 21. Maybe there were problems before, but to have solid parents, like you said earlier,
but
about
did you,
bringing
did you,
you up,
feel
right?
the tension between them growing up?
That's I did. A good I did. That's a good I did. I don't. I looking back, I wouldn't have wanted my. I would rather them be happy than to stay together for us.
That's what I'm hearing from a lot of actually psychologists and kids too later, saying I wish my parents didn't wait for so long because I knew that they were unhappy. Yeah. But I mean, going back to the whole thing about is it a way out? I think that that's a very interesting question, because I think we're in a time period now where people are like, you know, I'm not going to deal with this. Like, I can't handle this. I don't want to. Yes, I made a commitment, but you know what? Screw it. It's just easier to walk out. So I'm going to get out of it. And I think that
they look for that loophole.
Yes.
Because we all know when we read contracts, you look for that loophole.
And I don't even read them.
But you gotta read, honey.
You know why? You know why you don't read them? Because you know there's a loophole. You know you can get out of whatever it is that you're not reading.
You're not. You're not. You're not. You know what? This is the thing. My mother always said to me, as long as you have options, you are great. And life has given us. We live in a country where we have options. That's why there are people that do get divorced. Yeah. Whether the rate is actually as high as people say it is or not, that's still up for debate.
That's questionable. I think that 50% is actually questionable.
But to me, I think what's so funny is one of my male friends said to me is that women are usually the ones that get the divorce or that break up in relationships.
Men, they'll
just stay married forever, or they'll just stay in a relationship. Like, they're never going to break up. They'll cheat on us, or they'll just, like, deal with it, like, whatever. Yeah. They're just never going to be the ones to break up. And I think that's hilarious, because it's like, why would you stay in it if it's not working?
Because it's I love that perspective from you.
You make a commitment, though. Yeah. When you make a commitment to someone, especially having grown up with divorced parents, it's something that when I'm married now, I made a commitment to my wife, and I'm willing to work through thick and thin. Mm-hmm. And just for like, I was listening to Richard for Poor, you know, all that stuff. Listening to Tony Robbins yesterday talking about suffering and versus living a life of fulfillment and happiness. Mm-hmm. Choose to be happy. We make decisions and fight through those decisions.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to make a commitment, you should hold that.
And I feel like if you have any reservations, don't go into it.
Yeah.
Like, go into it knowing that this is it. Like, you're and I understand people change, people grow, things like that. But I know of people who have gotten married.
And they knew it wasn't going to work.
Yeah. Just,
you know, people got married so young, though. See, this is my whole point.
If you get married young,
mm-hmm. like, you still need to be completely sure. Like, there are people who I feel like, if it's 2021, you're going to change.
30, 40, you're different people.
Have you guys ever been engaged, married, or divorced?
I was engaged.
Engaged.
No. Mm-hmm. Okay. I really am like aching to like speak. because I am married, too, as well.
Yeah,
and I will say it's very easy to be in love, fall in love, and marriage is very hard. And I love my husband, you know, and I would do anything for him, but it is hard, and kids make it harder. And so I think that sometimes you don't know, even if you think you know in the beginning, you don't know until you're in it.
Yeah.
And I think, bottom line, I think if you try to do everything you can to make it work, it is not worth your happiness to be in an unhappy relationship. And I think so many of the times divorces, when they end and there's kids involved and it's not amicable and there's so much hatred, that's where it's bad. Like, if you can have a divorce and still have your children but have it be amicable, and I feel like a lot of movies and things like that, they're trying to show that as well. I really believe that is what it, I mean, put your kids first.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Put them first. And if you don't have kids, put your happiness first.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm taking my time. I'm single, and I had an opportunity to get married, but I chose not to for a variety of different reasons.
Good.
And I trusted my instinct. That's really what it came down. Like, you know that black box, you know, the airplanes have? We were born with a black box, and it's called our heart and our instincts, and you got to trust them in any situation in your life, and it moves into your happiness. Yeah. Like, you have to be happy. That's the point of you being on this earth, is for you to be to the core. You are a nucleus of happiness.
Yes.
And then that actually moves on to other people. It spreads. Mm-hmm. It's like that's why we're here. So I totally agree with you.
I think at the end of the day, don't go into a marriage situation thinking that divorce is an option.
And I don't think a lot of people do though. I don't know. I think there's people who disagree.
I think they all, like, with the options
out
there.
You think it's in the back of your mind?
Really? It's just a paper, versus I'd rather you not even sign the paper and just be a lifetime partner.
Exactly.
Y'all
don't look for that loophole.
Yeah.
If you're going to spend all this money on that one day, make sure that it is truly forever. If there are issues that, that prevent that,
not just money,
that
though.
Are not for, right.
But yeah. they say that's one of the number one reasons. Money is the money one is, of the is the actual number one reason why people get divorced.
That's because people are selfish.
All right, well, speaking of self and happiness, there's a lot of cool trends going on in the market right now, whether it's trying some type of new waxing or tattoos
that
or whatever,
like,
it may be.
Hurt my body thinking of the waxing. It just hurt me.
Anything that's been on your guys' mind that you want to try? Because I know there's something I've been wanting to do.
I want to try cupping. You know the cupping that everybody's been doing in the Olympics? Well, I used to, like, back when I was in hair school, I worked at a salon and they had a spa as well. And they used to do, God bless you. They used to do the cupping there and I thought these people were insane. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, cut to, like, this is at least 6 years later. I'm like, you see Michael Phelps in the Olympics with the cupping and all. I mean, I'm just curious.
Yeah. Well, what do you want to try, Rachel?
I know. I'm so now
I have something. I'm just going to tell you after you talk about yours.
Oh, mine's not a bit. Mine's a tattoo. I've always wanted a tattoo.
I don't want one.
I know, but I still want one.
I've never got a tattoo. I thought about getting one on my wrist. My wrist.
She's going to have something crazy.
So, okay. So mine, I did try something. And honey, it did not end up very
just taking a look first.
I am okay, trust me, but I will never do this again. I tried getting a, I don't know what they call it, where you get your
acupuncture?
Stuff. No, you get your body cleaned out.
A colonoscopy.
But there's out here in LA, there's a more sophisticated way for them to say what it is.
Okay.
And one of my friends back home sweared by it. She was like, oh my gosh, I get it every year. It's so good for you. It's gonna, you're gonna feel like you have so much energy. You're gonna feel great. It's so healthy for you. It's so great. I was like, hold on, I eat a lot of vegetables and a lot of fiber and my body, you know, moves pretty well, you know, pretty smoothly. So I don't really need anything to force. I think anything you force your body to do is not always good. I will never do that again.
Why?
It was so uncomfortable. No, absolutely, unequivocally, undeniably, no, that is not on video. Two, it was very, very uncomfortable. It was just very uncomfortable. And I just will never do that. And I will never advise anyone to do that.
Did you feel better after? Like, did you have energy, like they said?
No, okay. I was like in shock and distraught. I was more like, I was like mad at myself. Like, why would you do that to yourself? Don't ever do that again.
Oh my God, I'm crying.
It was not a good move. So sometimes, you know, we want to try these trendy things. And you are traumatized, honey. So let's keep it normal.
How about you guys?
I want to try cryotherapy.
Oh, me too.
Which
I've heard about that. When you freeze yourself.
It's the real deal. I mean, a lot of people
Russell Simmons does it.
Tony Robbins, who I brought up earlier. A lot of athletes do it to help the connective tissue. It helps your face. Mm. But also, it just kind of allows you to back into the moment.
So, Stephen,
you get into the
for our viewers, what is it? It's like you get into
cryotherapy. It's like a chamber that you get in. Essentially, the temperature drops to like something like -200 degrees, and it's super freezing. They had it on Shark Tank. We were talking about Shark Tank earlier, but it allows you to sort of reconnect, and it helps your tissues, your skin. And
how long
your
body. Are you in there?
Very short, like a couple seconds, like not long at all.
Yeah, but you bucking naked,
like 15 seconds. Yeah,
I mean,
you're naked.
You could wear whatever you
like
want.
Boxer shorts, or you have like, you know,
I mean,
a bra.
You could wear that suit. You could wear your undies. You could wear whatever. You could
wear that suit. I'm coming out looking like the Iceman.
I would actually try that only because the people that I've seen do it are all older and like super healthy. Like they're so healthy. Yeah. You like, what is
the
your fountain
skin looks
of youth?
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, like that's the only reason why I might try that.
The only thing that I have thought about trying, and it sounds like it's supposed to, like, you know, rebalance and, you know, make your body, you know, feel good, is acupuncture. Did I say that right?
Acupuncture.
Yeah. Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I
she's tried it all over here.
Yeah, you have.
I mean, yeah, you know.
I just,
out here.
The thought of needles going in, like.
They're so thin. Like, they're like paper thin. They're paper thin.
I don't think you really feel it.
No,
and they did it on
my
face, too.
It looks relaxing, though. Like, it looks like, you know, your body gets centered.
It's like Chinese medicine, like where they look at your eyes and your tongue and see what's wrong with you. And when I first did it, I took my mom to do acupuncture, she was battling breast cancer. And I remember, and this is what made me try it, is I would take her for these holistic different treatments, a lot of different types of things, and that was one of them. When she would come out of acupuncture, she was like, everything was brighter, clearer. She felt so much better.
That's so interesting.
Kind of combating the effects of chemo.
Okay.
And so, you know, she was very exhausted, tired, drained. And so just as a normal person, it would probably still elevate your, you know,
senses. I need that.
What's the cost on that?
It depends on what you need. Like, That's a great question. And they ask you what you have going on, and then they'll target certain areas based on what you tell them. So you don't get, it doesn't have to be all over your body. It's in certain specific places, like maybe on your toes, on the palms of
your
feet.
Is it where you have pain?
Where you feel pain?
No, it's not physically.
Releasing of pressure.
That's the interesting thing about acupuncture, is it's not specifically where you're having the actual problem.
Because I think that's
at.
Where cupping is, where you have pain. Okay.
No, yeah. See, cupping is all along your back. Acupuncture can be on your hands. Okay. It can be on your face. It can be on your back. It can be on your butt. It can be on your feet. It can be in different places, but there's like this, you can Google it, but there's like a map of your body, and our nervous system is tapped into every little part of our body. And so they focus. If you say, oh, I'm having a headache, it might be at your wrist.
Right.
It might be, you know, beneath your butt. Like, it's like random places, so they know exactly.
Well,
I'm
going to try that instead of going to Popeye's on a Tuesday.
You should never go to Popeye's anyway.
That's what makes me happy, though. That's what refocuses me.
Guys, before we go to commercial, have you guys, has anybody here tried that thing where you put your feet in the water and they have
and
like
they
the fish?
With the fish?
No, I heard that was very, I'm very
ticklish.
You're biting off on your dead.
You Pokeball.
I'm ticklish. I can't do fish.
I think they eat off the dead skin, right?
Yeah, like you put your feet in, they eat like the dead
like
skin.
Like a piranha
off.
bath or something.
Like that. I thought you would have tried that.
No, I have friends that have tried it, and no one said they've had a positive experience.
No, okay, so I'm not trying that.
Infections and things like that. Nope.
All right.
Can you have an acupuncture guy come to your house?
Absolutely.
I'm sure you can.
Like Uber for acupuncture? Be like, hey,
yeah, let's put it out there.
I'm sure there's an app for it.
I'm sure somebody's watching. They can
Uber has Eats, so I'm pretty sure they can do Uber acupuncture.
Yeah, Uber acupuncture. Yeah.
Well, you guys, I don't know what you guys are going to try, but we're going to try to keep you tuned in. We will be right back with more 30-ish after this break.
From The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. We're your twice-weekly broadcast of one man's midlife crisis and the mad millennials in Star Trek uniforms that follow him.
And I'm one of those millennials, Lauren Migrasso here. We've had some amazing guests like Russell Simmons, Ileana Douglas, and Craig Gass. Coolio, right?
Christian Blatt in the house to tell you to go to thetomorrowshow.com to check us out. We're live every Monday and Thursday from 10 to midnight Eastern. That's thetomorrowshow.com. Be there or be square, whatever that means.
Welcome back. Now, we wanted to take time and shine some light on people who have taken their passions into their hands and started their own business. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a segment we call 30-ish Entrepreneurs.
All right, and we are so excited today to have with us Jasmine Ejean, who's created a very unique product that helps you keep it fresh before doing the do.
That's
Jasmine,
right.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on, Jasmine. So tell us about your very unique product.
Well, I am the creator of Blow Paste. Which is, yes.
Which is already a catchy enough title.
Thanks.
Whatever you guys are thinking, you're probably
right.
what exactly is Blow Paste?
Oh, it's an edible lube that's also vegan, so we don't test on animals.
Yes.
And it comes in three flavors. Orange Gasmic, Minty Sanchez, and Cinnamon. And it's not really a paste, it's a lube.
That's for you, Tony.
Go ahead. How do you use it?
Also the only lube in the world that's good for your teeth.
How is that?
Yeah, there's sodium bicarbonate. I studied toothpaste and lube and kind of made my own concoction.
So it's a lube toothpaste.
Yeah, I mean, you probably could brush your teeth with it in some ways. But it is used for enhancing your love life. And some people have used it as lip gloss and for their dry skin.
Okay, really? Well, it's very versatile then.
But yeah, it's water-based, condom-safe.
Yeah, so so what made you start this?
Well, I used to play with flavored lubes years ago with a former love. Mm-hmm. And when I was creating this, at the time, I was with my entrepreneurial partner. And I told him, wouldn't that be great if there was a lube that was good for your teeth so you didn't have to brush your teeth after? And the next day he called and he said, that's a great idea. So during that time I was on tour for the Peter Pan show. Uh-huh. I also do musical theater. And during our hiatus, I studied ingredients and created this lube, which has been tested throughout all of musical theater land.
And, of course you would start with musical theater people. Well,
yes, they're the coolest and most open-minded, fun people.
And yeah. Jasmine, that's interesting to me because you're actually a performing artist. Yeah. I mean, so one would think that you might start a dance school or a singing program or something. Yeah. But so how did you fall into this? And, I, you know, like, I would be nervous to start a business like this because it really isn't a typical business to go into. Right. It's a very competitive industry, and it's a controversial item as well.
Yes, especially in conservative America.
Yeah, absolutely.
And coming from Asian background, my parents don't know.
They don't.
Although they're starting to get a little savvy on the internet, so maybe they'll probably...
Do you think that they would be upset or have a problem with this?
I don't know, but that would be another show.
So yeah. Let's go back to how outside of, like, you started this whole business on your own, basically.
Yes, well, at first I thought it was just going to be, you know, this little thing, and we had a little, Indiegogo, mm-hmm. to launch it, and then the Huffington Post saw our bit, and then it just exploded, and I got all these orders. Next thing you know, we're in a store, and I thought, I guess this is seriously legit, and everyone loved our stuff.
Yeah.
And then by year two, I had been in 50-plus stores. Come 3 years, which is year three now, I'm in 60-plus stores, and I'm now being tested in this by a major distributor and another major store. And I've gotten a plethora of orders from Europe and Asia. And here I am mixing the lube in my laboratory.
Where is that located?
In Chicago.
Okay,
oh, wow. Love Chicago. So this is the classic idea of, because I feel like when we talk to our friends and we tend to have like these little ideas and mm-hmm. things like that, but we don't push ourselves to just do it. But you actually had this really
vision.
Neat, simple idea, and you started the research of like ingredients and mixing them up, and like you made it happen.
Well, I think growing up as a ballerina, I have this discipline of training, and I get obsessed, and I try to figure out why. How does this work? How can I make this work? Mm-hmm. And with my eye of, you know, looking at dance and performance, it's like branding. How would you... It's like putting on a show, which is what I've been doing all my life.
Yeah.
Making blow paste is like putting on a show.
Yeah.
So with that, and then seeing, wow, I can actually probably make some money doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, I have my master's in education, and I used to teach at the performing arts school. But because this was pulling at me, I thought, well, I guess I'm making lube.
was there ever a fear, Jasmine? I mean, especially when you're launching something new as an entrepreneur, first-time business owner.
Yes.
What, you know, how did you get over that fear? What were some other maybe challenges that you had?
Yes, in the beginning, I used to stammer and blush profusely to talk about this because I did not grow up talking about this openly. Like, my parents, my mom gave me a book called The Nutcracker Has AIDS when I was 11, and I didn't get it.
Oh, my
God.
So we never had that talk. They just assumed whatever was given in school was it. So, and I didn't find out till later through my friends and whatnot. So what really made me successful was when my mentors and my other really great friends, they took me by the shoulders and they said, Jasmine, this could buy your house. This could be something. And they basically told me, you know, put on your big girl panties and be full out with it. And I thought, you know what? This is my moment in time. This is my million-dollar idea. Nobody has this idea in the world. I'm going to go for it. What am I going to lose?
Yeah.
So I went with it. And throughout that journey, I've met lots of amazing people. I've learned about branding and marketing. I'm the operations. I do lots of things, and now I consult with other companies, and they ask my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, like, I've also studied labels when I relaunched my blow paste tubes because when it first came out, it was just plain and simple.
Yeah.
So with that whole journey,
I'm still here doing it.
Yeah. So is it just you?
Yes, it is just me.
That's running. Oh my gosh. So what are the things you've mentioned? Some of the things that you've kind of had to like teach yourself, like just about business. What are some interesting things that you've found out along this business journey?
Well, there are a lot of sharks out there.
Yeah.
But I grew up in Southside Oxnard, and you know, it's to be in my group of friends, because I also grew up in military background, there's mm-hmm. reliability and reputation. And so to gain people's trust, because it took me a long time just to get on a shelf because... Yeah.
Brand new.
Yeah, brand new. I'm not a business person. I'm not in the adult business. I'm just a musical theater actor.
Yeah.
So I had to make these contacts and then take months and show proof of... You know, and it has to start somewhere. I'm like, but it's great. I get reorders. But then how can I get there if I'm here? But it's selling. And it's just the constant battle. And then there's also the people you meet. Like I said, the sharks who just want it for your contacts. Or, you know, you meet all kinds of people.
Yeah.
And then the guys who think, oh, wait, she's talking about lube. And then they think I'm hitting on them or something.
Right.
So it's just like, and then I have to be nice. Because I'm a public figure.
Yeah.
So I'm like...
And how long has this journey been for you?
Oh, gosh. Since 2013.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So it's fairly new, but you've been able to accomplish so much.
Yeah. Yes, right? My mentors all keep saying... Because I'm always thinking, gosh, we need to do this and that. Why is it taking so long?
Yeah.
And they say I'm on the right path.
And so. Has this been a great source of income for you? Thus far?
For me and my spending habits. No, I'm just kidding. It has been, I have some income.
Yeah.
But I've always pushed that right back into...
Into your product.
My product.
Yeah.
Because it's growing exponentially. The sales have doubled last year than the year before.
Yeah.
So right now I'm working on making this commercial. I just produced the jingle. It's going to be so cool. So that's the next project.
Yeah.
Is making this really cool thing.
Right. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you had advice to give to somebody who was a new entrepreneur or someone who wanted to pursue mm-hmm. an idea or get into the business, what would you tell them?
I would say you have to be really passionate about the idea. You have to love it because, I mean, maybe it could happen to someone, but you're not going to be a gazillionaire overnight. And it requires a lot of hard work. You're going to give up your 20-hour work week for 80 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really believe, then other people will believe. And if you, you know, stay in it and work hard, then all things are possible.
Because I think we often get discouraged at the thought of starting a business. Mm-hmm. And I think we definitely have so mm-hmm. many ideas, and we just don't push ourselves to actually do it. And it's just great to see, even though this is a very unique product, it's great to see someone who took that and that one little idea and pushed it, and you have this now. So, and it's working for you. You found mm-hmm. a very niche market that you took time to research and figure out the logistics of everything, mm-hmm. and you're still moving forward.
Yeah, because of Blowpaste, the world is happier. I've enhanced relationships. Some of my friends say that their husbands say, "Wanna brush your teeth?" So, you know, like, they're able to laugh. See, you guys laugh, everyone laughs, and then they try my stuff, and they're like, "Wow, your stuff's really good."
Yeah.
And then people will pretend and that they don't or whatnot, but then they actually reorder, and you know, they've been really dedicated customers.
Loyal customers.
Yes, loyal. That's the word.
You already have loyal customers, so, which is good.
It's building that reputation. And so, yes, far, so good.
Well, awesome. Thank you, Jasmine, for joining us today.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing your blow pace.
Yes.
I will give you guys some after, so you can tell me how it goes.
Now, if any of you guys want to try out these products, you can check her out on chickychacha.com.
That's right.
She has all the information. You can find out more about the products. And we sure had a great time, and hopefully she'll leave some samples here for Tony. Mm-hmm. And
so, why just for me? You need some.
For all of us. Yes, for all of us. And on that note, we will be right back. Don't go away. Maybe go check out her website, but we have a lot more of fun happening here on 30-ish.
Thank you.
Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. We want to let you know about my new show on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109. It's called Conversations with Maria, and it's live Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Go to conversationswithmaria.com for more info.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Well, that was a very interesting show that we have had. Very special thanks to Jasmine Ejan for sharing with us her very unique business that she started, and we wish her well wishes on that. And Stephen, thank you so much
you
for
so
joining
much.
Us today.
Thank you for having me.
Did you have a great time?
I had a blast. I can't wait to tune in for all of the episodes and just glue it to Black Hollywood Live on the 30-ish.
That's right. Oh, I like that plug that you did. Yes, I appreciate that.
You got to keep it ish.
Well, thank you guys for tuning in as always. And we'll be right back with a new episode this Wednesday. You definitely don't want to miss it. Thank you so much for tuning in to 30-ish.
The views expressed here are those of the host and do not necessarily
Tiana Hobson and the entire BHL staff. We would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio. Instagram me at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.